Let's turn this morning to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. We do have a lot to be thankful for, amen? Amen? You know, as we've been just searching the scriptures and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister by His grace to our hearts, one of the great privileges we've been seeing is that privilege of accessing His presence by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Enter in boldly, the scripture says. What a privilege we have to be able to access our great, majestic, loving, omnipotent Father at any time. No appointments needed. He's instantly there for us. You know, it's not like going to the doctor, right? You have an appointment. Isn't that one thing that, doesn't that irritate you? I don't know who those guys think they are. But with everybody else, an appointment is an appointment. We had a 10 o'clock appointment. I expect to see you at 10, not 10:40. I'm just getting something off my chest, that's all. But God's accessible at all times. My father, one time went to the doctor and he sat there for about 40 minutes and got up and left. And a month or so later, he got a bill from the doctor's office and he called them up, or they called him, and they said, didn't you receive our bill? And he said, well, yes, I did. He said, but I didn't see you. There were no services rendered. And they said, well, we had an appointment and you didn't keep it. He said, no, I was there at 10. You didn't keep it. And they said, well, you know, you're going to have to pay. And he said, I want you to know something. My time is just as valuable as yours. So he said, I was just writing out a bill to you for my time. And he said, by chance, it's the exact same amount. And so he never did pay, but, you know, those are the things that, you know, we don't have to deal with when we come into the throne room of God. Amen. He's not too busy for you. He's always there, and His ears, the scripture says, are open to the cry of the righteous. And so we're admonished to come boldly, and we're admonished to come in faith, trusting and relying upon God. To confirm His word as He said He would, with signs following. And so this 1 John passage that we're all very familiar with, 1 John chapter 5, I love what the Holy Spirit's speaking to us in this, and the encouragement that He's trying to get to us is to make sure that when we do approach God, we're fully aware of what His divine purpose or His sovereign will is in any given situation, so that we're able to pray with confidence. Now, the word faith means to trust, to be assured, or to rely upon. And we understand that when we come to God, we've got to come in faith. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's no real relationship with Him until we have absolute confidence, trust, reliance, and assurance in His character, His love, and His promises to us. There's no real relationship if there's not that confidence. That's faith. Faith is confidence that God will do what He said He's going to do. Faith is confidence that God is who He's revealed Himself to be. Those that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Amen? Just confidence. It's a relationship. One of the utterances already this morning was just indicating in a nutshell that very thing. It's not about formulas. It's about relationship. Amen? That's what walking in faith is. Faith is not being able to recite scripture. Faith is walking like you believe it. Trusting. Faith acts out as though it were already manifested what you prayed for. Or let's quote the scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? So we just walk as though it were already in the visible realm because we've seen it, we've accepted it in the invisible realm or with the eye of faith. And in fact, the scripture goes on and tells us that those things, the things that are not seen, are more real than the things that are seen. Oh, that we could come to that, amen? But they are more eternal. The things that are seen, all that we see, that we touch, that we taste, the scripture says, is going to dissolve and go away. It's going to be purged by fire, by the majesty, the holiness of God will purge all of these things. And only that that's in the spirit realm will remain. That's where we need to live. That's where we need to have our treasures. Amen? That's where our real communion is. And so when John's speaking here and you know, revealing all of these great truths to us in this first epistle, he says in verse 14, one of my favorite passages, that this is the confidence that we have in him. Now that word confidence means liberty or boldness. We have a boldness, Hebrews 4:16, entering in boldly to that presence of God. So we have this confidence that whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Now that word desire, and I don't want to get too caught up just in the word study aspect of this. I want to get more into the relational understanding. But the word desire, and we shared this before, it's a very strong word in the Greek, and it means to demand or to require. Not to demand God, to demand what God said was going to be done. We're not moving God or commanding God. We're commanding that the circumstances line up with God's will. Amen? And you can go down and write a demand or a check at the bank for $1 million all you want. If you don't have the million in there to cover it, you're not getting it, right? But see, the thing is, when we come with God's promises, we're cashing the check on the promise. It's already been deposited. God has spoken it. It is his will, and it's there to draw on if we would be bold enough to go in there and demand it. This is mine, praise God. Amen? Amen. This healing is mine. Amen. This deliverance is mine. Amen. That soul is mine, praise God. I am praying according to the will of God. As I was just in intercession for Star again the other day, and my heart just broken as I was thinking just how insane to live separate from all that's available to him. The love of God, the love of family, the love of friends. But the one thing I do know, that as the Spirit of God moves in me, and as I'm praying for him, the one thing I do know is this. I am praying according to the will of God, because God is not willing that any would perish. Amen? So I know I'm praying the will of God. Now we're not gonna, at this time, deal with all of the extenuating circumstances of free will, of God's sovereignty. We're standing upon the revealed will of God or the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so as we pray and God quickens our hearts at these given times to intercede, then we have that confidence that what we're asking, the Scripture says, this is that confidence that what we ask according to His will, He hears us. And so we make those demands, we make those requirements. It's a powerful, powerful understanding of the will of God being declared through His Word. You know, over in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 are the three chapters that really deal with the assurance of prayer to a greater degree probably than anywhere else in the Scriptures that Jesus has taught on this subject. And let's go over to John 14 for just a second, and we'll go through a couple of verses there. But prayer is so simple. The smallest child can pray effectively. Amen? As we approach Him with absolute childlike faith, you know, the confidence of a child in their father, you know, whatever a child's father says, you know, I mean, that's truth. Well, my daddy said, and that settles it, man. Oh, would to be that we could walk in that kind of a faith, amen? But the simplicity of prayer, of being able to fellowship with Him. And He says over in that 14th chapter, in verse 14, if you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Now we've been praying and believing God for a number of things, everything specifically from different healings here in our midst. We've been praying for God to manifest an ingathering of souls in this community. You know, as we're talking about faith, you know, we're praying for an ingathering. Corinthians tells us that one sows, another waters, the Lord gives the increase. Amen? I want you to understand something, and we need to change the way we're believing for the ministry that's going out. We're doing a good job. There's a lot of us that are out there shaking the bushes. Thank God. Keep it up. Amen. I'm hearing all kinds of great testimonies. We're doing a good job of sharing the gospel. We can do a better job in believing for results. It's all by faith. See, it's one thing to move in obedience and sow. But Jesus gave us a parable, didn't He? He said one thing, it's great to sow, but those that sow must believe. They wait, they expect a harvest. Amen? Many of us pray and then don't really expect the results. In fact, some of us are more surprised when God does answer prayer that we're kind of, whoa, I didn't, you know, God really answered that prayer. He wants to answer all of them. Amen. Well, the question was asked, why could we not cast out this devil? And the answer was because of what? Unbelief. Your unbelief or your unpersuadableness. And the reason many of our prayers are not answered, it's not that we don't pray, it's that we don't believe. We don't expect results. I was kind of shocked by a statement that one of the authors made as I was reading the other day, and I was trying to bring it up real quick, who it was that said it. But the statement was shocking. He said, to pray and not believe for an answer is atheism. Those that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Mark 11:23-24. Amen. What things soever you desire, when you pray, what? Believe. When you pray, believe. The word believe means to live, to have, to respond, or to have corresponding action with what you believe you prayed for. In other words, when you pray, for that fig tree to die, then you will not be like the disciples were the next day as they walked by, surprised that the thing had dried up. Jesus wasn't shocked, but the disciples were. Is it metaphorical or is it literal when Jesus said that faith has the capacity to remove that mountain and cast it into the sea? Well, most people think it's a metaphorical thing. I believe that nothing's too hard for the Lord. All things are possible. Amen? To he that believeth. Now, I don't know when it would ever be the will of God to do that, but if he willed it and I prayed it believing, it will happen. Amen? We've seen it in the heavens being shut up. Hey, if you don't think God can move a mountain, then you're really going to have trouble with God reversing the whole universe 10 degrees. Amen? Amen? We've all heard the story that NASA found that time when they were calculating all of this math for the moonshots, and they were having trouble coming up with the alignment of everything in the universe, and one guy happened to remember that scripture. And this is a story that I'd heard. Now, I can't vouch for its absolute fact. It's a story that I heard. You might want to wear the internet out trying to find it. But the one thing I do know is this. Whether it affected NASA or not, I do know it happened. I do know that time was affected. I do know it wasn't just, you can't just move the sun. This thing is a machine that's working precisely. Everything works together. The whole solar system, the whole universe. And I like the way God says it. So, what's your sign? Do you want it to go ahead 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Well, it doesn't seem that hard to go ahead 10 degrees. Yeah, it does instantly. Oh, what a great God we serve. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Hallelujah. If God can reverse universes, if he can cast mountains out of our way into the sea, then the thing that you're facing this morning isn't that big of a deal. So what do we do with it? Well, we just have to spend a little more time with the Lord. We just got to get in more fellowship with the Lord. We've got to get comfortable with all of His great promises. See, some of these promises get us kind of nervous sometimes. Some of His promises get us into a work syndrome many times, and we start getting anxious thinking we have to do something. Let me remind you, you can't do any of this stuff. Amen? Just lay the burden of it aside. Lay the care of it aside. Stop trying. Stop worrying. And let's just trust. Believe that I am and that I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When you pray, believe. Believe. Act as though it's already manifesting itself. That's why back in some of the old revival meetings you would see, guys like Oral Roberts and some of them, you know, they wanted people to respond. And so they would tell people when they were prayed for, stand up out of your wheelchair, drop your crutches. What the phrase that Oral Roberts used a lot of times, whatever it was you couldn't do before, do it now, praise God. Amen? Oh, Lord. Anyway, I was just thinking of a great Glenn Thorpe story. help me get back, Lord. Whatever you couldn't do before, do it now. Get out of the boat. Amen? Declare what God has said. Don't you think that sometimes, and I know it's happened to some of us, but sometimes you almost scare yourself by what comes out of your mouth when you're in faith. You know, things that just come out, like we were talking about the situation that the Newlands and Delsignors were in the other day. And when that faith rises up in you, you make declarations that if you thought about it, you wouldn't do it a lot of times. And it's in those times that we see some of these great miracles. To when a man of like passion such as you and I stands, and according to his word, the heavens are dried up, man. We need to understand that God wants to work through us like that today. When you pray, believe that you receive. Move in direction of your declaration. Show some kind of corresponding action that moves. You know, we talked about those men the other day that and we've heard it many different renderings of like faith, but those men that just get into line and start moving toward the line, you don't have the money, but you're believing God. Amen? How's God going to get you off the boat if you don't get in line? Are you willing to be a fool for the word's sake? Or let's put it a more biblical way, according to Hebrews 11. Do you believe God to the point where you're ready to die in faith? You see, not everybody gets delivered, but we can all stand in faith. And so as God moves upon us and we hear these things stated like verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Powerful. Now, is that a carte blanche statement? Well, we just read over in 1 John that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will do it. And so we realize then, as God reveals truth to us, that we can't just ask anything we want. We need to ask what God's will is. Lord, teach us to pray. We'll pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're to be found always praying the will of God. We heard this morning about agendas in one of the utterances. And I liked what that utterance said. In that utterance, it said that there are those that are too ambitious, wanting to press ahead, put themselves forward, be a success in the eyes of men. But then it went on and said, if you remember, the utterance went on and said, and there's some that God's wanting to exalt, but you're not willing to be exalted. You don't want the hassle. You don't want the pressures. And the conclusion of the utterance was this, is that we need to be obedient to however God wants to use us. As Paul said it, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. Amen. But what I want is the will of God. I want to be found in the will of God. It's like Mrs. Goforth we were talking about the other day, and how she was fearful to go out after having lost many of those children. I was just reading some more. Count Zinzendorf lost all 12 of their children. Can you imagine burying 12 of your children? Can you imagine the hours? You know, you make this statement, but there's nobody in here that can identify with that. There's those of us that have lost loved ones. There's those of us that have lost children, but there's nobody in here that's lost 12 that I'm aware of. And I'll make this statement without knowledge, not having known it, but I don't think it would become easier. So every one of those losses would have to be dealt with. Coming to God and receiving peace from Him and fellowshipping with Him, so that we don't ask those whys and we don't get into self-pity and we don't get into judging God, to where we can rest and say, the Lord is good. Amen? And He doeth good. The will of the Lord be done. Not my will, thy will be done. We have to wrestle. We have to rest. We have to spend time with God to live in that kind of an environment. Especially in the midst of adversities. Praying is not an easy thing. Getting our soul quiet, getting our spirit quiet. And what I mean by your spirit quiet, the soul getting quiet is to get all of the thoughts and all of these things out of the way. Getting our spirit quiet is resigning ourselves to the sovereignty of God. Absolutely, 100% agenda free. Not even an inclination of wanting one thing or another, only God's will. Because what we're wanting to see this morning, and we'll go on to a couple of passages, is this. Everything we're to pray for, we're to pray in accordance with the will of God, so that God might be glorified. You remember that? That was the great desire of Elijah when he was combating Satan's prophets up on Mount Carmel, wasn't it? Look over at Kings for just a second and a couple of these passages that I think are very telling for us and the need for us to find out what the will of God truly is. When Elijah prays, he got to the bottom line of this whole issue that was taking place there on Mount Carmel. You know, we see him having mocked the other prophets. You remember that their God was a God of fire. So Elijah challenged them to the strength of their God. Since your God is a fire God, let the God that answers by fire be God. Well, God has a little bit of fire in his ministry too. Eternal. Unquenchable. But long story, just to get to the point. So we see then that all of the prophets are trying to conjure up some kind of a supernatural occasion and no answer. And Elijah continues to mock them. And then he prays in the 18th chapter, verse 37, these words. And it's a powerful truth that we need to grab a hold of. He says, "Hear me, Lord. Hear me, Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Hallelujah. When God visits, he does a full job, doesn't he? Oh, I would that God would come into our midst like this. We're praying for God to come and visit us. Let us come with an expectancy. Why don't you become the one that has the word? Why don't you be the one that rises first in the gifts of the Spirit and work the miracles? Why don't you become the one who's yielded to the presence and the power of God and begin to raise your voice and shout unto God the voice of triumph? So many of us in here, and I don't understand it, we've been around one another for decades. And some of us are almost a little fearful to really just fully allow ourselves to worship, to praise, to shout, to dance, to weep. To let the Holy Spirit have His full expression in our bodies and in our lives. All of those things that restrain us, it has to go away. We have to come believing for God to move. I've not read of one great visitation where there was not wave after waves of meetings, however long these things would go on, the visitation. Not only the believers that were gathered, but by the people that came out of the highways and byways, and they would come and just begin to weep uncontrollably. People shouting unto God. People that would be able to come and sing praises and worship Him. The point I'm making is I'm talking about we need to believe. We need to come in faith. We need to be expecting God to move in our midst. I want to tell you something. When God comes into this place the way that we're believing Him for, things are going to change. Not only are our lives going to be purified, but our lives are going to be set free. A lot of our ego and pride and all of these things that are keeping us from yielding to what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do, say, it's going to go by the wayside, totally abandoned to God. And as He came, the scripture's clear here. It says that the people may know. You see, one of the things as we're praying, I know one of the things I'm believing for. There's two different ways the Lord expresses this. People should look upon this fellowship and see the love that we have one for another, and by that shall all men know that you're my disciples. Amen? So between knowing by the love that we have for one another and knowing by the supernatural visitation, and that this is a place where God answers prayer, where God shows up, where there is demonstration and power, that His word is exalted. It's by that that men know that He's God. Amen? Not religion. That God's in this place. Now, how's that going to happen? It's going to happen when we come believing for that. Not believing that it's true, believing that it's imminent. That it's about to manifest this next moment. Possibly before we leave here this morning. Amen? What are we believing for? You see, to pray and not believe. When you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray. Believe that you receive when you pray. Whatever you ask according to my will. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, and we know the story, we won't spend all of the time on it. It's a fabulous chapter on prayer and on humbling yourself before God. And there's so many principles in chapter 19 about not being intimidated by the lies of the enemy. And how Sennacherib comes in and says, God is going, has lied to you and you're not going to be delivered. Nobody else has ever been delivered from my hand. And the story goes on and on. And it says that Hezekiah then takes this and he spreads it out before the Lord. Amen. We need to come into the presence of God and spread out clearly what the circumstances are. Lord, here's what I'm facing. And Lord, I'm afraid. Amen. And Lord, I'm tempted to go into the natural ways of doing this. And Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You, praise God. Amen? Just spread it all out before the Lord. Get before Him with your Bible. And share it, spread it out, and then go through the Word of God and let Him speak to you. As He did to Hezekiah. And what a prophecy. He said, I want to tell you one thing. Your little virgin girls are going to stand up and laugh and mock this great general. In this great country. And he goes on in that chapter and says, because they've mocked me, because you would defy me, I'm taking you down. And the enemy wakes up the next morning, there's like 180,000 corpses. Can you imagine waking up and everybody around you dead? I don't know about you, but I'm leaving town, man. Your enemy will come against you in one way and flee in seven. Amen. There's not a weapon formed against us that'll prosper, praise God. But we've got to stand up. We've got to do the condemning. We've got to speak the promises of God. We need to shout at the walls before they'll come down. There's a lot of us in here because of our preferences of worship and because of our personalities try to get us to shout. Oh, we'll shout at a ball game or something. We'll shout at the dog. We'll shout at the guy that cut us off on the freeway. Some of us would have been there with Joshua walking around and it's time to shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fall down walls. We're to be involved in this war. Amen? Amen. We're the instrument of God. And so as he speaks here in the Hezekiah passage, chapter 19, verse 9, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." Praise God. So as we stand and we pray against principalities and powers that are binding up these people in our neighborhood, we pray against them and God will hear us. And God will drive out the principalities and powers that are blinding their eyes. It's not the people. It's the God of this world who's blinded their eyes. We need to take authority and bind up the strong man so that they can be loosed, praise God. Speak their deliverance. Resist the devil and watch him flee. Believe that we'll see people streaming from streets around to try to get here to find God because they've heard there's a place where God's chosen to put his name. Well, they'll show up with their little broken babies and dying children and addicted young people. And alcoholic husbands. And sex addicted fathers. From all of the garbage on the internets and everything else they're being subjected to. A place where they can come and Jesus is lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Praise God. That they might know. Lord, we're not looking for some reputation. I've confessed my heart to you. I'll tell you from the natural. I actually, truthfully, I was before the Lord and I said, "Lord, I really don't want this hassle. Seriously. I'd be happy just to stay in the natural. We're pretty comfortable." Anybody comfortable? Pretty comfortable. We know everybody, right? Pretty comfortable. We don't want all those strangers coming in here, bringing all their weird ideas and have to retrain these people. See, we know how to act, man. Now we got to train all these people. It's like I told you when we had that revival in California. You know, the Jesus movement was the last great awakening in America. It's time for another one. There's been local revivals that we've seen, the revival down in Florida not many years ago and some of those, but I'm talking about a nationwide. And people getting saved, and I've told you the story about those young people that I ministered to. I'm out on the streets sharing with these kids, and finally they invite me down to where they were, and a bunch of them, this is in the 60s, a bunch of them crashed down in this little two-room shack. And this guy, Bear, he was one of the leaders, and he had just long hair and a beard that was just completely, you know, couldn't even hardly see his face, and on a pair of overalls, and that was it. And I was sharing Jesus with him, and he said, well, come and share with some of these other guys. So I go in there, and here's all of these young people. Mid-teens to early 20s. You couldn't see across the room because of the marijuana smoke. Some of you say, Pastor, weren't you afraid of going in there and getting high? I was high enough already, praise God. That stuff wasn't going to affect me. No more than that disease affected John G. Lake, there wasn't going to be any marijuana that was going to affect me. Do you believe that? When we're out about God's business, He has a hedge around us. Amen? Amen. You know the thing with John G. Lake. I'll tell you some of the places we've been in. I was laughing with a couple of people the other day. I can't remember who it was, but Ron was sharing part of it, and we were talking with some other people. But I'll tell you, when you've put your hands on the stuff that I've put my hands on over the years. Oh, it was little Kev talking about praying for that street person. When you're in the armpit of Calcutta and Haiti and in Africa and many of the peasant people in Korea. I remember one service in Korea, there were so many people to pray for. I just told them, I said, we're going to have to just believe God. I can't pray for every one of you. I told the people, I said, I can't pray for all of you. But the Bible says they shall lay hands upon them and they shall recover. Amen? Now we could have prayed a mass prayer, but I just didn't feel led that way. And I don't know how long I was there, but these people lined them up. It was a church that's, I don't know how many thousands this place seated. And they lined them up and they went out the doors and whatever, and I just stood there and they put two lines and they just walked by and I just touched this guy and that 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 guy. Thousands of people believing God. Does that work? Of course it works. Because according to their faith, it's unto them. Amen. And handkerchiefs were taken from Paul and placed upon people and they were healed and unclean spirits came out of them. And Peter walked by people and his shadow fell on them and they were healed. Amen? What do you want to believe God for? Oh, we've touched some pretty crusty people over the years. That was before Perel. When you pray, believe. That the world, that these people might know, not that Calvary Temple's a great place, that Thou art Lord. This is a great place. It's a great family. There's no place I'd rather be. But that they might know that Thou art Lord. And so as I was praying with these kids, That was part of the prayer. Lord, that they might know that thou art God. Bring in healing. And we begin to pray and kids begin to be healed, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. God began to move mightily. And we were talking about being comfortable. And then I brought them to church. Dear Lord, you ought to have seen all of those Pentecostals. These people were struggling, some of them at that time, were struggling with how long your hair is. How should it be cut? Should you go to the movies or not? And I bring in all these hippies off the street. It's like when I first came here. First service we came to, I brought five little black kids with me. Where they put me to live down here was federally subsidized housing. It was 99% black families. And us, it was all the church could afford. That was my Jerusalem. So in 3 days, by the time we got here, 3 days, we rounded up these at least five and we come to church. And one of the deacons came over to me and he said, Brother Scott, we don't have black people in our church. I said, you do now. Hallelujah. Amen. Wait till next week. From that complex, within a year, on Sunday morning, I would pull a bus into that place, a 66-passenger bus, and put 80 kids on it. Changed our ratio real quickly, praise God. We quickly became an Afro-American church. Not really, but it was great. God's good. The point I was making, things will change. Amen. And they'll come in and they'll have needs. And they won't have all the right jargon. And some of them will still be cussing. Some of them will still be smoking. And someone will be dressing improperly. And someone won't wash their hair. And someone will be pierced and poked and tatted and transplanted and whatever else some of these freaks have in them out there. You want to be sitting in church, and it'd be like that. Any of you ever see the movie Moby Dick? Remember the, what was that, the guy's name? What was the Indian guy's name? Moby Dick. Anybody remember? Queequeg. That's the guy I'm talking about. Whatever. And in the movie, of course, it was great because he had some, you know, all of the facial tattoos and all of the, you know, so, I mean, you might have to be comfortable sitting next to a guy with a bone in his nose or whatever out there. They're doing all kinds of weird stuff. You ready for that? You ready for the BO? You ready for the guy that's reeking of cigarettes? The guy that had to take a little shot to get the last little bit of nerve to walk in. Oh God, give us a love for the halt and the maim and the blind. He said, my house is still not full. Compel them to come, praise God. And so he tells us then, that whatever we ask, verse 13, we're back at John 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. You see, I purposely went down to 14 to show us that it's not carte blanche. So now we see, according to 1 John, that whatever we ask according to the will of God, he will do it. Now he says in verse 13, listen, make this the primary motivator behind your prayers, my glory. Amen? Lord, not what'll make me happy, what'll bring you the most glory. Lord, not what I comprehend, understand, what I think, not my goals or my ambitions, whatever will most glorify your name. Put it as a fire in my bones. I believe we can pray for this community the way we've been being encouraged to pray, and it is the will of God. And I believe that as these broken and halt and maim begin to come in here and fill some of these empty chairs, and then pretty soon we have to put a few more in here and they fill those. And then pretty soon it's not comfortable because you can't hardly get down the aisles. The chairs are so close together. And people are sitting around on the platform. And testimonies are going forth. As German shared with the man up at the courtyard, I was about to kill myself and God sent you at just the right time. You remember John Murphy? Anybody remember John Murphy? Do any of you remember his testimony? He was going to commit suicide and he just happened to push the button and the Sword of the Spirit program was on. And he heard the gospel and said, I got to go find out if that's real or not. He's come out and completely delivered and set free. What are we believing God for? Do you know how many families out here are on the second and third marriages? Do you know how many of those are about to break up? Do you know how many of these kids are locked in their rooms with these devices and don't even know their parents? They have no friends. They have no hope. Why is Loudoun County becoming one of the highest suicide rates for teenagers? Because of the vanity of this life, and there is no hope, and we have the hope, praise God. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Whatever you ask, I will do that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything that will glorify Father in my name, I will do it. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. There's a rustling in the mulberries. Can you hear it? It's the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord that's coming on us. Can you see it? There's a cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand. Keep praying. We've sowed. We've watered. It's time for harvest, praise God. Amen? Can you believe God for that? It's time for harvest. It's time to speak the harvest. It's time to pray the harvest. It's time to begin to thank God for it. Spend some time in worshiping and thanking Him. Father, we thank You for these souls. We thank You for these people that are being brought in. We thank You for the opportunity of doors of utterance that are being opened to us daily. As we come to church, as we come to work now, and I don't just show up, I'm come believing for that door to open. You will bring someone across my path. I am going to reap these souls. I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to disciple them in the name of Jesus. Because you see, as we read on into the next chapter here of after John 14, he talks about us being able to pray and that whatever we ask in His name that glorifies Father, He will do it, praise God. He then goes on into the very next chapter, and we're going to stop for this morning, and starts introducing to us the vine and the branches. And in that passage, as he begins to talk about prayer again, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will that glorifies the Father. You can ask what you will according to the word that abides in you. You can ask what you will. This is the confidence that if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. We want souls added, Father. I want to be able to not only win souls, I want them to be able to come into a safe haven where they can be discipled. The greatest thing in all of these revivals, if you'll study, which you'll see that every one of them then, they didn't just say, well, praise God, they got saved. They begin to build schools. They begin to educate. They begin to have classes for these people. It's not enough to lead somebody in a prayer. They need to be put into the body of Christ. They need to be taught and instructed and cared for and counseled and led. What a great opportunity to be able to turn to these and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Wonder what it's going to look like. Can you hear the wind? Can you see the cloud? I know one thing we can believe for. Exceeding abundant above anything that we could ask or think. Father, we come to You this morning. We long for souls to be added, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. You said there's still room. Oh, there's a lot that are too busy. No, I can't come. Oh, I'd like to be there. But it's too hard. It's too inconvenient. I've got land I have to tend to. I've got oxen I have to prove. We think it's more important for our own little private family time. I've taken a wife. My house is still empty. There's still room. Those that are too busy, I'll deal with them later. Don't be taken up with them. Go find some folks. Father, You're not willing, and we're not willing that any would perish. That everyone around here could hear. We're already hated. We're already mocked. And You've said in these three chapters, that's exactly the way it should be. So don't concern yourself with it. But pray the Lord of the harvest. If you don't have that compassion, start praying for it. You know, I just don't really give a rip about all those people. I'm going to try to get me in and my family. Give us a love for your glory. And we'll praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quiet enough to pray your will, Lord. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, there's a remnant to be saved. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.